Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Tuesday weekly REI Vault team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015, and welcome to the call. Excited to have you. This is a call that we have weekly with Chris Chico and myself, Gary Boomershein. I see some new people that have joined us, so welcome. I see Garrett in Ohio, so that's great, and a few others. An opportunity to ask questions. It could be technical, marketing related, or real estate related. This is an open forum to ask questions. And if you have a specific question, you can press *5. We have everybody muted to reduce the background noise. So you can press *5. Chris and I will see that you've raised your hand and we can bring you into the call. And the way this works is you can ask your question when we bring you into the call and have dialogue. And if there's no more questions, we end the call. We typically keep these less than an hour. And then normally if you have any technical questions, marketing questions, anything in that nature, you can always email support@reivault.com. And if you have a deal-related question, something specific to a deal, you can email dealhelp@reivault.com. We use a support system so that we have 35 people on staff, and so everybody has an opportunity to see it, but it's just it allows us to escalate and make sure that everything gets answered correctly and appropriately. And we always we send out a survey just to make sure that your questions are always answered in a timely and professional manner, and you're getting what you need from the staff. So with that, let's go ahead and kick this off. Chris, any updates? Any updates you want to share with the group?
No, you know, just that we had sold, we picked up last week a couple of deals in South Florida, and we then sold them. We sold them within a day of putting them out there. And, you know, what was interesting is that I had an exchange back and forth with somebody on Facebook because they were trying to, they were a little bit stuck on estimating market values. And so it was interesting because the obstacles that he was looking at in terms of analyzing these properties were things that I didn't even look at, meaning that, you know, in these properties that we have, that we picked up and then we resold, we just did a back-of-the-envelope calculation based on the rent and kind of came up with a gross ROI of one of them 18%, another one is 20%, that we thought was reasonable based on, you know, what else is out there. And that's it. That's about the extent that we looked at. We didn't put any, we didn't look at any comps. We didn't look at any MLS or anything like that. And, you know, it was really what we needed for this type of property because these are income. So they're going to be evaluated based on ROI. And we didn't look at anything more. And it just, you know, I just, it was just an interesting market in the sense that, you know, they sold for more than I thought that they would sell anyway. And you don't know if you put it out there. And so I think we just tend to be less restrictive in terms of, you know, what we estimate values and what we, you know, what we pick up or don't pick up. And especially since we're not closing on deals, so it doesn't really make a difference on us in taking a chance. But, you know, for us on these two deals, all we looked at was just, it was about maybe less than 5 minute conversation about the values, and that was it, and then we put them out there.
Excellent. Just for the benefit of the group, Chris, I'm going to ask you a few questions that I think would be helpful.
Yeah.
One is the lead. You want to talk about, were these first-time phone callers or these older leads, and walk through the process as to how we ended up getting them negotiated into contract.
Well, I can tell you part of that question. The other question I couldn't tell you. Because I wasn't the one that took care of that. So these were old leads. We have a VA that's just been scouring through all our old leads. And when I say old, I mean we're going back in time 2.5 years, 2 years, because we've seen up all the leads. And these are all pretty much, you know, old leads that we left for dead. And he's just been calling everybody. And if somebody says, yeah, I'm still interested, he just gathers the basic information, confirms the price, and then puts it in a status so that Steve can review them. And then that was it. I mean, the conversation Steve and I had were, because I'm more familiar with Miami than he is, and him and I had initially a two-minute conversation about the values, and I was like, you know, I think they sound pretty good deals, so I would just try to put them on the contract and let's see what we can do with them. And that was it. So I couldn't tell you about the other parts, unfortunately.
Yep.
Or fortunately.
So
maybe
couple,
it goes both ways.
A couple of nuggets. So old leads, these are leads that are well past the year that didn't have a lot of momentum. They were pretty much dead. And we actually brought in a new VA, a Filipino VA. His name is Omar, to bring him up to speed and just use him as an opportunity to go back to old leads and get trained, pick up those two deals. So that's interesting. And then in terms of the buyer, Chris, the buyer process, is this a repeat buyer? Or is it a new buyer?
Yeah. Actually, they were both sold by other wholesalers. So our net on each deal was 10. One made 2, another one made 2.5. One was a wholesaler we worked with before, and one was a new wholesaler that we've never worked with before. So they had the buyers.
Gotcha.
But we put it out for a list.
Yeah, so co-wholesaling, but we didn't have to give up half of the property. Just for them finding the buyer, they made a couple of grand, and we made the majority of it. Correct?
Right, exactly. Because we're upfront about the not wanting to give up 50%. I mean, they asked us what we needed, and we gave them a price, and so they added whatever they were going to add on top of that to get their buyer to commit.
Awesome. Good stuff. I think another nugget there, I see questions that come into the deal help at REIVault.com site, and there a lot of people are thinking that they have to co-wholesale and give up 50% of the profits, and that is purely a negotiation. And so you definitely do not have to give up 50%. That should be negotiated on the front end. So, awesome.
Well, we try to steer away. We try to, one of the things we try to do is just try to be upfront with the wholesalers that we do, that are on the list, because many times another wholesaler gets on your list for the first time, they'll ask you, you know, hey, you know, if I saw one of the deals, would you consider splitting a deal? So really, at the very beginning, we let them know that that's not really how we work, and so therefore it eliminates any confusion. And when it comes down to the deal, though, however, we tell them, look, this is how we work, and this is our, you know, so do your best. However, though, we do want to look at all offers, because then at that point, you know, we have another deal it's been delayed because of the title, but it's going to be closing on now, I think, next week. But that one, we had to do a 50% deal because in the end, we couldn't sell it. We had to come down on price, and we just did the best we could. But that's not the norm. The norm is we try to stick with the number that we want, and then they add whatever they want to the top.
Awesome. Well, good stuff. From an update, if you have a question, go ahead and press *5. We can bring you to the call. My update is Aaron and I. Aaron is on the call. I'm actually going to bring you on in a second here, Aaron. But Aaron is a sales acquisition manager that works for Chris and I and with Chris and I in the Colorado, working a couple areas in Colorado and in California. So hotter markets, typically more difficult. We like to do some of the test marketing as well. So when we roll out some new stuff, we like to get it working in some of the harder markets. And so Aaron's got number of deals, but one specifically, this is the one I talked about last week. It's a creative deal, so it's not really a type of deal we could wholesale. We might pick up a little bit of money on a wholesale, but this one we're actually picking up creatively. And I'm going to bring Aaron on the call here. Hey, Aaron, you're live. Are you there?
Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome. So I'm just going to, I open this lineup. I'll kind of give an overview. Aaron's been working with this seller. He's older. He's got three parcels, and he's got one house and two vacant lots. And he actually owes about $257,000. Is that right, Aaron?
Right.
$257,000. And it turns out he is delinquent on a payment. Older guy. Wife passed away. He's got some deadbeat kids living in the house. And as Aaron went out there, just full of junk. I guess he's a hoarder, and there's cars and crap and trash everywhere, right?
That's an understatement. Yes.
So, anyway, this particular deal, Aaron and I have been strategizing it on it, and we're actually going to pick this one up creatively. And I'm actually going to fly out. The seller lives in Arizona. So I'm going to fly out because of the nature of the deal. He's and this is more than just a one-page contract. This is actually a little bit more of a dance, as we call it, the finesse. And so I'm going to go out there, meet with the notary and Aaron, because Aaron's going to be in Arizona anyway, and pick up this deal on Friday. And so really the way we're structuring it, I'll give it Aaron, and then we can kind of discuss it. And Chris, you can ask questions, maybe opportunity for some learning. But we're going to pick this up subject to, I'm just going to take over the payments on this particular deal. Payments are about $1,500 a month. There's going to be a little bit of money to get the kids out, and so cash for keys to get the kids out. We're going to give them $3,000, but that would include enough to get first month's rent that we'll pay direct, and also a moving van to cover the cost of moving. And so the way that I will structure that is part of the down payment. And then there's going to be a small carry back. The way I'm going to structure the carry back is in the form of a note, a purchase order, a purchase money note that will be due in equal installments. The way I'm doing it, and Chica, this is you and I chatted about this a little bit, is I'm going to be making $1,500 payments against the note, but I'm going to be paying directly to the bank. So we will have some holding costs on this. And then we're going to get a couple of dumpster guys at $650 per dumpster. They're about to come out and get the crap off the property. So I've put together all the docs, and the one other, it's not very complicated. The docs take a little bit of time. I'm using Lou Brown's forms, a couple of pages on the purchase agreement. And then the reason I'm flying out is we're actually going to be having the seller move the property into a trust for his benefit, so we can actually control the property and then have the title company go ahead and do what's called an accommodation recording. So they'll actually record the transfer from the owner into the trust, so that we now have the opportunity to go ahead and list the property and then resell the property. And so we'll probably, estimating on the conservative side, we thought we were going to make more after going out to the property and working with, we're going to list this property with a realtor that's a very well-known, reputable realtor that Aaron has. But we should net kind of on the low side, kind of moving it pretty quickly, about $100,000. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes, that's right.
So, and then we're going to try to set it up. Chris, I talked to you a couple days ago on this, but we're going to set it up where we might be able to get a little bit of a bidding war. The house is worth a little bit less. We may try to sell the house first, pay off the debt, and then we pretty much have those lots free and clear. And so anyway, that's pretty much the structure of the deal. Aaron, you want to add to that?
I mean, do you want me to get into, the potential
reason? I think the seller motivation. I want to... The seller motivation. How was the seller right from the beginning? Did he come in and was he interested in selling, or did you have to warm him up a little bit? Walk through that.
No, I feel very fortunate. He just is ready. The card reached him at the right time in his life where he is kind of tired of taking care of his grown kids. They pretty much all live there for free. They don't take care of the property. It's a dump. And he is in Arizona taking care of his sick mother. So the property's in Fort Collins, Colorado. And he's taking care of his sick mother, working down there full time. And it sounds like he works a lot. And so at some, he had just gotten to the point where he wanted his kids to sort of grow up and take ownership for their lives and be done. I don't think he can afford the payments anymore, obviously, since he's 1 month behind. So when he spoke with me, he just communicated to me that he understood that he had to do something or he would have no choice at all. So in this case, he does feel like he has a little bit of empowerment. still, because his wife did die 8 years ago to cancer, and he just sort of checked out of life since then, and he's just down. You can hear it in his voice. He's just very down, and he is wants to be kind of, he's ready to shed. When I went to the house, her car is still sitting in the same place that it was when, you know, when she lived there. And so there's a lot of emotions that are tied into it, but he's very ready. And so he just made it pretty clear that he wanted to make sure someone took the properties, and he enjoyed raising his kids there, and he enjoyed living with his wife there, and life didn't quite turn out how he wanted it, and so now he's ready to let it go, and he wants someone to develop it or do something with it that he knows he can't do.
Yeah. What's interesting, by the way, just from a marketing perspective, I'm looking at this lead and where it came from. It came from the standard invisible list, so the big list that we mail pretty much for everybody, and then the shock and awe campaign, which is the third notice blind copy. And so that came in a month ago, came in on the 27th of October. And the other thing that's interesting, Chris, the voicemail was 3 seconds long, and he got a text message. So that, just like we do for everybody on Hangups, the text message said, "I just missed your call with the address of the property you want to sell." And then he responded and gave us the address and then said, "And the property on both sides of Proc 1.9 acres. So he responded to the text message on the Hangout. That's really pretty interesting.
Yeah, I saw that on the record. So the fact that he was a Hangout, and but however, he responded to the text message, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, well, cool. Well, thank you. We'll bring you back into the call if people have questions. If anybody has a question, go ahead and press *5, and we'll answer questions. Anything else you want to add or ask Aaron while we're waiting for questions, Chris?
No, I mean, you and I have gone over the basics of the deal. So I guess this is a deal really only that if, I think we went over the deal, just, you know, combination of the fact that you're, number one, I think there's a knowledge of the marketplace, right? So whereas if somebody was doing that deal and didn't know anything about the marketplace, and that deal would have been more difficult to analyze or at least see the upside. And the fact that you're going to meet the seller in person is also key. So there's a lot of, I guess, just things that you're doing that are outside, I guess, the norm, right? Or that are making that deal possible. But specifically,
yeah,
also the ability to craft the deal, the paperwork, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going out there. First off, you know, $100,000 deal is worth a plane ride. Gives Aaron and I an opportunity to meet face to face. We actually haven't met in person before. And then we're going to have some money in the deal. So not a lot of money, but whenever I have money in the deal, I want to make sure that it goes well. And so on this particular one, we could send a notary. The reason I'm having a notary, I like notaries signing paperwork. Sometimes that's a great way because it looks all professional and they don't really cost a lot. You can have a traveling notary, even signing a document. You know, but I'm actually going to have a notary go out there because I'm going to sign trust documents. I want to get control of the property because as soon as I release funds and we start putting money into this deal, I want to make sure that we don't have to go back to the seller when we're ready to sell. And because I've had situations, sometimes the sellers get greedy or they disappear or what have you. And so we're going to end up putting that property into a land trust and hold that property. And so I want to make sure that, and there's a handful of documents to do that. We got to appoint a trustee. So there's going to be a named trustee that's going to be named. And then there's a declaration of trust, which is a few pages, to actually formalize and execute the trust that gets notarized. There's a trustee instructions document that we use that basically gives the trustee instructions to go ahead and do all things in order to get this property resold, gives them authority without liability. I create a certificate of trust, because the certificate of trust is the one document that the title company is going to need. And they'll ask for the actual trust document, and they always run around. The title companies get a little nervous. But by law, all they need is a trust certificate, which is really a standard document that just says it is a bona fide trust. It names the trustee. It asks for, like in Colorado, some states are a little different, but the state of Colorado asks for the names and addresses of any successor trustees, which would actually be not applicable. And you want to know if it's revocable or not revocable. This would be a revocable trust. And then a few other notes around the property. And so we get that signed and notarized so that we can give that to the title company when we're ready to resell. And that's pretty much it. A deed gets created, transfers the property from the current seller into the trust. We put that through the title company to do that for us for free, typically, notary fees and recording fees, and pretty straightforward. But I want to be out there so that I can answer any questions. Aaron mentioned to me that the seller gets really overwhelmed, kind of an older guy gets overwhelmed, and, sometimes I might just send out a notary and call the notary and walk through the documents in advance to make sure that they know what to do. But in this case, we'll meet him face to face. Enough profit in the deal that it's worthwhile. So, cool. If anybody has any questions, or if you got a question on a deal, press *5, and we can bring you into the call. And let's see here. I don't see any questions here. *5, if you have a question. Like Art, I can bring Art in, and Justin's got a question as well. I'll bring a first one. Since Art beat you to the punch, Justin, Art, you're live.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
What's happening?
Wheeling and dealing, making deals.
did it turn out that buyer was kind of
It was legit. He actually pulled the plug on the deal. I got a call and a text back from the buyer, and he was all confused. And I said, well, and then I didn't respond to his text, and then he called me. And I said, look, I just felt like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath of me, and it's very unusual that I have a seller that decides that he doesn't want to sell a $600,000 package, and I just thought maybe you guys went around me. I was right up front with him. And he was like, no, he's a Jewish guy, so he's from Israel, and he's very hard to understand. I'm always saying, what? Can you repeat that? He's got a real heavy accent. But anyway, it turned out that it was legit, and the buyer thought he could get more money. I met with him yesterday, gave him his keys back, And then my buyer actually got a call from a realtor that said, oh, by the way, there's two buildings coming up for sale on East Liberty Boulevard. And I'm like, and how much? $750,000. So it was all about money.
Yeah.
It was just all about money. He thought he could get more money for the property. I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, I know he's going to list it, so...
Yep.
That's the way that happened. Now I forget my question. Is REI Vault down?
No,
I keep logging in, and I keep getting prompted to register for a webinar. I can't get in.
Chico, REI Vault site, I know you brought up a new web page, but do we have, how do they log in? Is there a login at the top? Chico? Lucia?
No, I'm looking at that right now, so give me a second while I look at that. Give me 2 seconds.
We'll come back to you on that, Art, but one way or the other, Chris put up a new web page, and so we'll make sure that one way or the other, before the end of the call, you'll know where to go.
Yeah, no, I always log in to grab the phone number for REI Vault, and I was like, damn, I couldn't get around it. The other question I had was, how close are we to syncing up that call center with Podio?
In the final stages, Justin Lee and I were just chatting about that about an hour ago. So we're going to get a couple of us up and running, I would say, within a couple of weeks, maybe sooner. So this is
okay.
The final technical stuff, but pretty close, definitely by the beginning of the year.
Okay. Good.
Cool. I'll put you back on hold, and then I'm going to bring in Justin here. Hold on real quick. All right, Justin, you're live.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I do have a question, but first I'll just give you just a couple quick updates. We got our first deal under contract from somebody who replied to a text message from a hang-up, which was cool. They sent us back the address, picked up the phone, called them, and we've got the deal under contract, and that all happened last week. And then also, just as a side note or something that I observed, we had a deal that we didn't think we were going to be able to sell. We ended up closing. It was a smaller deal. We only made $8,000. But what's interesting is that we were referred this buyer, and was told that he tends to pay more than anybody else in San Diego. And in an ironic twist of fate, the guy who referred me to him, we had another deal that we pushed out there, and the buyer who paid more than that last deal that we didn't think we were going to be able to move came in with an offer of $245, and the original guy came in at $275. So I guess lesson learned is that all buyers evaluate different deals properly and don't get sucked into going to one or two go-to buyers. You never know. So push all your deals out there and let everybody look at them and underwrite them themselves. My question is, we have a deal that the numbers break down like this. The woman has a Section 8 tenant in there who is moving out on the end of December. So they're moving out at the end of this month. She owes $155 on her first, and the payments are $1,061. She owes $97,000 on her second, and the payments on that are $270. She's open to doing creative financing and will let us take over the payments. However, when we went over all the loan information, she just disclosed to me that the second is interest only and is going to balloon in September. So she owes a total of, let's call it $255 to use round numbers. I can probably get the deal for somewhere in the low 300s. The ARV on the deal is for $370. The house is currently livable, and it's fine. It is super dated, and to get it ready for somebody to move into, it would definitely need, you know, to have some paint, some carpet, you know, just your usual whatever. To do a full-blown rehab, it's going to need about probably $50,000 in repairs. It's not a candidate for a fix and flip. But the house is also on two lots. So there's a house and there's two lots. They're small lots, so they could be subdividable, but we've already had a couple of people look at it. I'm just trying to figure out, I know there's a deal, I think there's a deal there, I just can't get my head around how to structure this or what to do. And I'm looking for some ideas. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is it vacant? Does anybody live there?
Tenants moving out end of January. Or sorry, end of December.
All right. Sounds like I may be taking a plane trip to San Diego to sign some docs for you. sounds very similar to the deal. I mean, if you were to put this, if this was listed on the MLS, what do you think it would sell for?
In as-is condition?
Mm-hmm.
$300,000.
Oh, $300,000.
Yeah, which is basically what she wants.
Yeah, I don't think there's a deal there.
Even though I can, even though I can take the property down for and control it for $1,400 a month.
Yeah, but if she wants $300,000, and it balloons in September, what would it? How much? What would it be fixed up?
$370,000
Yeah, I don't think there's a deal. There's not a spread. If you were gonna pick it up for, if you were gonna pick it up for what though, for $255,000, and give her $5,000.
Yeah.
To let it go.
Yeah.
And it's even slim there. It's slim there because if you sold it on the MLS, you're going to pay 3% commission.
So yeah.
You got 12 grand, let's say.
Yeah, it's not worth the risk.
No, $255,000, you give the seller, so you're going to do it for $260,000, you're going to probably have $10,000 of holding costs. You know, estimate. So you could make $30,000. But, you know, $30,000, you're going to have $15,000 into it to make $30,000. So I don't think there's a deal there. Chris? And you can't pick this thing up and turn, I don't think it's a rental. I mean, what would it rent for?
$1,600?
Yeah, there's not a spread there.
Yeah, because the ideal buyer, if you're not going to rehab it, the ideal buyer would be somebody buying it to get it as a fixer-upper, but this, even with that, the price is too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody's on the call, I know Jim and a few other, Steve and a few other creative guys are on the call. If you have a suggestion on making this one work, press star 5. It's a California deal, too, so it's not like a North Carolina or somewhere where you can make money. I mean, you're going to have a balloon. You could negotiate the balloon down the road, you know. I'm doing one of those deals. I've got a property in Maui that I'm negotiating with. You know, it's a six-month negotiation. So I don't know. I'd move on.
Okay. Okay. I thank you for looking at it. I just didn't want to make sure I wasn't missing anything or leaving any money on the table.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Cool. All right, Justin. Got a question?
I did fix, by the way, just as a comment for Art, so if you go to the main page, the member login link is there.
Cool. Awesome. If you have a question, press star 5. One other note, we had a couple of people this week that referred some new clients into REI Vault, new members. And this week I wanted to let everybody know that we have a new affiliate program, referral program. So if you refer anybody into REI Vault that becomes a member, you will get $800. It's pretty much what Chris and I do in marketing. For the right members around the country. But if you've got somebody that you'd like to refer and you think they'd be a good contributor and obviously not in your market, let us know on the front end that they were referred by you. We always ask, and you'll end up getting $800, and that you can take that in the form of a cashier's check or mail credit, your choice. And fact, I'll do even something. Yeah, that's it. So $800 as a referral. Thank you. There's a lot of people, had some people that have asked about that, so I want to make sure I made that everybody aware of that. If you have a question, press star 5, and then we don't have any more questions. We will end today's call. All right. I think that's a wrap, Chris. Give another second or two. Star 5 if you've got a question. All right. Great. I think that is a wrap. Any final remarks, Chris, before we wrap up?
No, I was just going to say that Gary's now available to fly into any town anywhere in the USA to do a deal.
If it's six figures.
So, yes, exactly. As long as there's money involved. we have a nice company airplane. It says Southwest, but we just haven't, you know, gotten the markings off of the plane, but it's coming.
Yeah, so. Indeed.
All right.
Good stuff. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody. Okay.